Well, good morning, everybody. Sorry if it's a little chilly in here. We're waiting on a part for the boiler for the church. And some people accuse me of breaking the boiler because, you know, I don't like to turn on the air conditioner or the heater. But I promise you I did not. But anyways, we do know that the organ works if you were here before Mass. So anyway, well, today, everybody, I was just thinking about how often it is that we go to Jesus because we want something filled. Remember the first miracle of Jesus and the wine ran out and they said, Jesus, fill our jugs. And through the intercession of Mary, he did. And remember the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes. They said, Jesus, fill our baskets. And he did. And remember how Peter and the fishermen, they were out and they caught nothing. And he said, Jesus, fill our nets. And he did. And how often it is that we go to Jesus because we want something filled. And that's not a bad thing, right? Jesus cares about us infinitely. He cares about us so much. And he loves, it's just like a parent, you know, loves to hear what their child needs. Sometimes maybe more than others, but still we go to Jesus because we need this or that filled, you know? But I wonder if Jesus is inviting us today in our gospel to go to him for a more important thing. And that is to go to him and say, Jesus, how do you want me to give myself away? How do you want me to pour myself out? How do you want me to be a servant? How do you want me to live a life of sacrifice, a life of not being filled, but pouring out? Because Jesus does this. He says, they tell him, James and John, they say, Jesus, we want you to do whatever we ask of you. We want you to be our gumball machine, you know? And we think about our life sometimes, I think, with our Lord that way. We put in a prayer, we put in a fast, we put in a thing, and then out comes what we want. And we want you to do whatever we want. Fill us, fill our nets, fill our jugs, fill everything that we want, our baskets and bank accounts. And I used to pray that my hair follicles would be filled, you know, when I first started losing my hair. But Jesus goes, can you drink the cup that I drink? And this is a cup that's not going to fill you. This is a cup that's going to empty you out. This is a cup of sacrifice. This is the cup of suffering. This is the cup of self-oblation. And he says, can you drink that cup? And they say, yes. And I think he gives us that same question. You know, there's, I think often of the lives of sacrifice that people live, you know, and parents that do so many things to sacrifice for their children. I think about our military men and women and the sufferings, the sacrificial lives that they offer. I think about, I think about priesthood a lot because I am one and religious life and I wouldn't trade it for anything, but there is sacrifice involved. There are crushings. In our first reading, we have that beautiful Isaiah, the servant, the suffering servant. It's Isaiah 53. We hear a much longer version of our first reading on Good Friday every year. And if you listen to it, it says, there was nothing in him. It's talking about Jesus, of course, to come. No stately bearing to make us look at him. No appearance that would attract us to him. He was spurned. He was avoided by men. A man of suffering. Accustomed to infirmity. People used to hide their heads from him, or their faces from him. Spurned. And we held him in no esteem. Yet it was our infirmities that he bore. Our sufferings that he endured. He was pierced for our offenses, crushed for our sins. Through him, he wiped away the guilt of us. And I just found that interesting that, like, there was no fanfare. There was no, like, you know, let's put all the cameras on Jesus, what he's doing here. That he lived this life here on earth for 33 years of complete self-gift. And a lot of times people didn't even notice. And how often that is with all of us who live lives of sacrifice, lives of oblation, lives of... I love that in the Eucharistic prayer number 3. Make of us an eternal offering to you. Because don't you see, Jesus on the cross, it's kenosis, the Greek word kenosis, which is this self-emptying, which Jesus is doing at the altar and altars like this around the world. And it's so eternally, because it's the one perfect eternal sacrifice of our Jesus, this thing of giving away. And Jesus says, whoever wishes to be great among you must be the servant. Whoever wishes to be first must be the slave of all. And we're invited into that, to that life of sacrifice, that life of gift and oblation. And yes, there are crushings that happen. And I was thinking of Henry now, and he said, when the grapes are being crushed, they don't know the wine that they are going to become. And that maybe in our sacrifices, our sufferings, our self-give, all these things, maybe sometimes we feel crushed, but there's a bigger picture. And on the other side is this wine, the wine of salvation. And we get to be a part of that. And here's the ultimate point, is that we're not just pouring ourselves out, you know? If I'm not filled with Jesus, nothing good is coming out of me. And in the sacraments, all of 7 of them, we are filled with our Lord, and that is so much better than any filled net of fish or filled basket with bread or filled whatever, you know, that... This is the biggest thing, is that we are filled with the divine life that we then overflow. This life of kenosis. And it's in charity that we make these sacrifices. It's in love. Not in there, you know, but in love. And so that's my little thought for the day. Do we go to Jesus to have this or that filled? Or do we go to Jesus so that he can show us how he wants us to pour him out in this beautiful world that is so broken and so in need of him? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.